Hear and know stories. Hear and know English. Hear and know stories in English. This is your program. Hear and know.
Welcome to our program, Hear and Know, sponsored by the Office of Language Self-Learning at UAEH, where you have the opportunity to hear stories in English and test your understanding. My name is David Watson. Each week we'll listen to part of an interesting story and ask questions about what happened. We'll give you the answers to check your understanding. Then, at the end of the program, we'll ask a question for a prize. Send your answer in English via email as soon as possible to hearandknow@uaeh.edu.mx. We'll print out all the correct answers and draw one to win the prize and announce it on the next program. Program 5, Part 1. Now, without further ado, here's your host, Roberta King.
Thank you, David. The last story of our Sherlock Holmes series is entitled The Five Orange Pips. A pip is a seed. Therefore, the story is about five seeds from an orange.
What a strange title. I hope it's more interesting than it sounds.
We'll find out about it as we listen.
Now, let's listen to something about actors who played Sherlock Holmes on the stage and screen.
According to the Sherlock Holmes website, the Guinness World Records has consistently listed Sherlock Holmes as the most portrayed movie character, with over 70 actors playing the part in over 200 films. William Gillette was the first actor to portray Sherlock Holmes on the stage and screen. He was also the person on whom Holmes's appearance was based. A brilliant actor and stage manager, Gillette, like Holmes, was an expert in his field. Basil Rathbone starred as Sherlock Holmes alongside Nigel Bruce as Dr. Watson in 14 films, two for 20th Century Fox and a dozen for Universal Pictures, from 1939 to 1946. He was an expert fencer in real life, and just as Holmes used disguises to win his cases, Rathbone used disguises to complete a dangerous mission in World War I and won a military medal. Jeremy Brett is generally considered the definitive Holmes of recent times, having played the role in four series of The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. His personal battle with bipolar disorder mirrors Holmes's own battles with boredom and extreme excitement. In the 2009 movie Sherlock Holmes, based on the graphic novel by Lionel Wigram and directed by Guy Ritchie, the role of Holmes is performed by Robert Downey Jr. in a reinterpretation more focused on the character's martial arts abilities. Robert Downey Jr.'s well-documented struggle with cocaine addiction reflects Holmes's similar reliance on his 7% solution of cocaine at times to help him work without sleeping to solve cases. It appears that the best portrayers of Sherlock Holmes are those who had important characteristics in common.
Well, this December will tell us if Robert Downey Jr. is the great Holmes of his generation. Before we begin today's story, The Five Orange Pips, here are some questions for you to find the answers to as you listen along. 1. Who came to ask Sherlock Holmes for help? Was it John Openshaw or Elias Openshaw? 2. Where did Elias Openshaw go to live when he was a young man? Australia or America? And 3, what frightened the Openshaws? They received mysterious letters or strange men came to the house?
Let's listen to our story, The Five Orange Pips.
The Five Orange Pips. Chapter 1. The Story of Uncle Elias. In September 1887, my wife was visiting some of her family. So I was staying with my old friend, Sherlock Holmes, in Baker Street. It was a windy, stormy evening, and the rain was falling heavily outside. Suddenly, there was a knock at the door. I looked at my friend in surprise. "Who can this be?" I asked. "If he comes on business in this weather, it's important," said Sherlock Holmes. "Come in," he called. A young man came in. He looked wet, tired, and worried. "I've come to ask for help," he said. "I've heard of you, Mr. Holmes. People say you know everything. I don't know what to do." "Well, sit down," said Holmes, "and tell me about yourself." The young man sat down and put his wet feet near the fire. "My name is John Openshaw. My father, Joseph, had a brother, my uncle, Elias, who went to live in America when he was young. He made a lot of money there. He didn't like the black Americans, so during the Civil War, he fought against the men from the North and with those from the South. But when the South lost the war and there was equality for black people, Uncle Elias left America. So in 1869, he came back to England and went to live in a large house in the country. He was a strange, unhappy man. He did not want any friends," John Openshaw went on, "and he often drank a lot. But he liked me, and when I was 12, I moved to Uncle Elias's house. He was very kind to me. I could go anywhere in the house. But there was one small room at the top of the house, which was always locked. Nobody could go into this room. One day, Uncle Elias got a letter from Pondicherry in India. 'I don't know anyone in Pondicherry,' he said. But when he opened the envelope, 5 little orange pips fell onto his plate. I began to laugh, but stopped when I saw my uncle's white face. 'K, K, K,' he cried. 'Oh, my God! My God, they found me!' 'What do you mean, Uncle?' I asked. 'Death,' he cried, and ran upstairs. I looked at the envelope, which had 3 K's on the back. There was no letter. Who sent it? And why was my uncle so afraid? Uncle Elias went immediately to the secret room and took out a box which also had 3 K's on it. He burnt all the papers in the box and said to me, 'John, I know that I'm going to die soon. My brother, your father, will have all my money and my house after my death. And you will have it all when he dies. I hope you can enjoy it. But if not, give it to your worst enemy. I'm afraid that my money brings death with it.' I didn't understand what he meant, and nothing happened for a few weeks, so I did not feel so worried. But my uncle was very afraid. He stayed in his room most of the time and drank more than before. He always locked all the doors carefully. Then one night, he drank very heavily and ran wildly out of the house. And in the morning, we found him dead in a river. The police said he killed himself, but I knew he was afraid to die, so I didn't think that was true." Holmes stopped the young man for a minute. "Tell me," he said, "when did your uncle get the letter from India? And when did he die?" "The letter arrived on the 10th of March, 1883. And he died 7 weeks later," answered John Openshaw. "Thank you. Please go on," said Holmes. "After my uncle's death, my father moved into the house. Of course, I asked him to look carefully at the locked room. But we didn't find anything important. Chapter 2. More Pips. Everything went well until a year later, said John Openshaw. But one morning my father opened a letter to find 5 orange pips inside it. What does this mean, John? He asked. His face was white. Look, I said. There's KKK on the envelope. Those letters were on Uncle Elias's envelope, too. We were both shaking and afraid. Yes, and this time it says, put the papers in the garden. Which papers? The papers in Uncle Elias's box? Burnt them, I said. And where does this letter come from? My father said. He looked at the envelope. Dundee, Scotland. Well, I don't know anything about pips or papers. I'm not going to do anything. Father, you must tell the police, I said. I remembered my uncle's letter from India. I was very worried. No, they'll laugh at me. Let's just forget about it, he replied. 3 days later, my poor father went to visit an old friend who lived some miles away. But he never came back. The police said that he was walking home in the dark when he fell down a hill. He was badly hurt, and he died soon after. They decided it was an accident, but I didn't agree. I thought it was murder. And I could not forget the 5 orange pips and the strange letters to my uncle and my father. But I've tried to forget. And I've lived alone in that house for nearly 3 years now. And yesterday, I got this. The young man showed us an envelope with KKK on the back and 5 small orange pips. You see, he said, it comes from East London. And it says, put the papers in the garden. Those are the words that were in the letter to my father. So, what did you do next? Asked Holmes. Nothing, answered Openshaw. He put his head in his hand. I don't know what to do. I'm afraid. Nothing, cried Holmes. Young man, you must do something fast. You're in danger. Well, I've talked to the police, said Openshaw unhappily. But they laughed at me. They think that there's nothing to worry about. How stupid they are, cried Holmes. And why didn't you come to me immediately? Your enemies have had almost 2 days to make a plan. Haven't you found anything which will help us? Well, I found this in the locked room, said John Openshaw. He showed us a small, half-burnt piece of paper. It was with my uncle's papers. It's his writing. Look, it says, March the 7th, 1869, sent the pips to 3 people, Brown, Robinson, and Williams. March the 9th, Brown left. March the 10th, Williams left. March the 12th, visited Robinson and finished business with him. Thank you, said Sherlock Holmes. And now you must hurry home. Put this paper into your uncle's box. Put in a letter which says that your uncle burnt all the other papers. And put the box outside in the garden. I hope your enemies will be happy with that. And then you won't be in danger anymore. How are you going home?
By train, from Waterloo Station, replied Openshaw.
There'll be a lot of people in the streets. So I think that you'll be all right. But be careful.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes, said Openshaw. I'll do everything you say. He went out into the dark night, wind, and the rain.
How mysterious this story is.
The story is certainly more sinister than its title. Let's listen to what's happened so far.
One windy and stormy evening, while Dr. Watson was staying with Sherlock Holmes, there was a knock at the door. Holmes called the visitor in because with the bad weather, he knew the reason for the visit must be important. The visitor's name was John Openshaw, and he had a strange story to tell about his uncle, Elias Openshaw. Elias went to America when he was young and fought for the South in the Civil War because he didn't agree with equality for the blacks. When the South lost, he returned to England and bought a big house with the money he had made in America. His nephew John went to live with him and could go anywhere in the house except a room at the top of the house that was always locked. 4 years before, Elias received a letter with 5 orange seeds in it. The letter came from Pondicherry, India, and had KKK on it. Elias was very frightened, opened the locked room, took papers out of a chest he kept there, and he burned them. He told John he was going to die soon, and within 7 weeks, Elias Openshaw was dead. The police ruled it a suicide. John's father, Joseph, moved into the house, and a year later, Joseph received a letter from Dundee, Scotland, marked KKK, with 5 orange pips in it, and a note telling him to put the papers in the garden. Elias had burned the papers before he died. They were very frightened, but they didn't go to the police because they were afraid the police wouldn't believe them. 3 days later, Joseph Openshaw went to visit a friend and didn't come back. When the police found him, Joseph was badly injured and died soon after. The police ruled it an accident, which John didn't believe. The day before coming to see Holmes, John received a letter from East London with 5 orange pips and the same note as his father received. He had gone to the police, but they just laughed at him. Holmes told John Openshaw to go home and write a note saying his uncle had burned the papers and leave it in a box in the garden.
I hope whoever has been sending these mysterious letters to the Openshaws will be satisfied with John's note. Here are some questions for you to answer while listening to the exciting conclusion of the 5 orange pips. 1. Why did Elias Openshaw leave America? Because he had enemies? Or because he preferred living in England? 2. What happened to John Openshaw? He went to live in America? Or he was killed? And 3. What did Sherlock Holmes do to the murderers? He sent them a letter with 5 orange pips? Or sent the police after them?
Now let's listen to the strange conclusion of the 5 orange pips.
Chapter 3. KKK. Sherlock Holmes sat silently and watched the fire. Then he said to me, "John Openshaw is in real danger. Why did his uncle Elias have to leave America?" "Because he had enemies. When he came back to England, he was afraid. That's why he lived a lonely life and locked all his doors so carefully. Now, where did those letters come from? Did you see?"
"The first from Pondicherry in India, the second from Dundee in Scotland, and the third from East London," I answered.
"Does that tell you anything?" asked Holmes.
"They're all seaports. The writer was on a ship when he wrote the letters," I replied. I was pleased with my answer.
"Very good, Watson," said Holmes. "Somebody sent some pips from India and arrived 7 weeks later to kill Uncle Elias. Then he sent some pips from Scotland and arrived 3 days later to kill John's father. You see why I'm worried now? He has sent pips to John from London. John's enemy is in London already."
"Good God, Holmes," I cried. "Who is this man?
More than one man, I think. They belong to the Ku Klux Klan. That explains the KKK. Haven't you ever heard of it? It's a very secret group of Americans from the South. They wanted to stop equality for black people and to kill anyone who didn't agree with them. The police couldn't stop them, but in 1869, Uncle Elias, who belonged to this secret group, suddenly left America with all their papers. And so, the group could not go on. Of course, the group wanted to get the papers back. You remember the half-burnt paper? That was Uncle Elias's American diary. While he was working for the KKK, he sent the Pips to frighten those three men. Two left the country, but one didn't. So, the KKK finished business with him, or killed him. The KKK always worked like that.
Well, I hope they won't kill young Openshaw, I said.
Chapter 4, The Last Dance. But they did. The next morning we read in the newspaper that John Openshaw was dead. A policeman found him in the river near Waterloo Station. The police said it was an accident, but Holmes was very angry about it. He came to me for help, and those men murdered him. I'm going to find them if it's the last thing I do, he said to me, and he hurried out of the house. In the evening, when he came back to Baker Street, he was tired, but pleased. Watson, he said, I know the names of Openshaw's enemies. And now I'm going to send them a surprise. This will frighten them. He took 5 pips from an orange and put them in an envelope. On it he wrote, S.H. for J.C. I'm sending the pips not from the KKK, but from me, Sherlock Holmes, to Captain James Cahoon. His ship is called the Star. He and his men are sailing back to Georgia, USA, now.
How did you find him, Holmes? I asked.
Ship's papers, he said. I've looked at hundreds of them today. Only one ship, the Star, was in the three ports at the right times. And this morning the Star left London to sail back to Georgia. I found out that the captain and 2 of his men, all Americans, weren't on the ship last night. So I'm sure they killed poor John Openshaw. When they arrive in America, they'll get the pips, and then the police will catch them. Sherlock Holmes is a very clever detective. But he can do nothing about the weather. The winter storms at sea that year were worse than ever. And so, the Star never arrived in Georgia, and nobody saw the captain or his men again. The murderers of John Openshaw did not get the pips. But in the end, death came to them.
Well, that was an unexpected twist of fate, wasn't it?
It certainly was. I didn't think this would happen. Let's listen to what happened.
Sherlock Holmes knew that John Openshaw was in danger. When he asked Watson what Pondicherry, India, Dundee, Scotland, and East London all had in common, Watson correctly answered they were all ports. This meant the man or men responsible were on a ship. Holmes believed it was more than one man and told Watson that KKK stood for the Ku Klux Klan, a very secret organization from the American South that wanted to stop equality for black Americans. When Elias Openshaw left America, he took the group's papers, which prevented them from continuing. They wanted the papers back and were willing to kill to get them. Holmes hoped they wouldn't kill John. However, his hopes were destroyed when he and Watson read that John Openshaw's body had been found in the river near Waterloo Station. The police ruled it an accident. Holmes knew differently and vowed to catch the killers. He went out to investigate and told Watson he knew who the killers were. They were the captain and two crew members of a ship called the Star. Holmes took 5 orange pips and wrote a letter that said SH for JC and mailed it to Captain James Calhoun. He would receive it when he arrived at port in Georgia. Then he would know that someone else knew about the evil deeds he had done. However, fate prevented the captain from ever receiving the letter. There were many bad storms at sea that winter, and the Star never reached Georgia. The murderers died at sea. This concludes our series of Sherlock Holmes mysteries.
Well, this story was certainly a test for Holmes and his deductive powers. Let's find out who won the TOEFL prize for last week's question. What was Irene Adler's married name?
The lucky winner is Hector Mora Aguilar, with the correct answer of Irene Norton.
Thanks to the Office of Language Self-Learning, you've won the opportunity to write the TOEFL at the Pachuca Center in University City. Now for this week's question to win our prize.
What does KKK mean? Send your answer in English to hereandknow@uaeh.edu.mx. The question again, what does KKK mean? Thanks for listening. This is Roberta King, courtesy of the Dirección de Autoaprendizaje de Idiomas. I look forward to your participation and hope you'll tune in next week for our next program.
Thanks for listening to Hear and Know. This is David Watson reminding you to tune in next week to listen to another story and to find out the winner of our weekly contest. Remember to send your answer in English to hereandknow@uaeh.edu.mx. That's hereandknow@uaeh.edu.mx. If you would like a copy of this program, please contact us at 771-717-2000, extension 5550.
You have been listening to Hear and Know. Tune in every Wednesday at noon. Radio Universidad 99.7.